Too slow, fool.
Hello and welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother Scott Charlesworth. Scott, how are you after this fine damn movie?
I feel so great. I feel fantastic.
Now, before this podcast started, when we're doing mic checks, which I didn't realize was going on.
Check, check.
I said to Scott, hey, watch this. And I said to Hey Siri, play the best song in the world. And then she played Weezer's Say It Ain't So.
No, it played Island in the Sun
by Weezer. I'm disappointed.
Weezer, the best band in the world. Better than the Beatles.
Yeah.
Better than Led Zeppelin.
If the Beatles were good.
If the Beatles were good.
Proceeds to play Say It Ain't So. No, honestly.
If Nirvana wasn't mid.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Proceeds to play Say It Ain't So. I'm concerned about Siri. I really am. Have you been, Scott? I haven't talked to you for a whole week.
I've been sitting in a corner crying to Pinkerton by Weezer.
Okay.
No, I haven't. I've never even listened to that.
What have you been up to? What have you been bloody playing Cyberpunk 2077?
I have. I've been playing lots and lots of
Cyberpunk.
That's
really interesting.
You know, it's a great piece of media that now that it's had all its updates, all been refreshed and things, you know. CD Projekt Red, they really listened to the people, didn't they?
You know what we should do? We should do Blade Runner this year in honor of Cyberpunk.
Totally.
But we'll wait till you finish the game.
Yep.
We'll wait till you finish the game.
And also in honor of Cyberpunk, we should listen to some Billy Idol because he has an album called Cyberpunk.
Idea. It's just hit me. It's hit me like a ton of bricks.
Oh my God.
We watch every movie with Billy Idol songs in it and Blade Runner.
Fantastic.
What if we watch every cyberpunk-esque movie this year?
Wow.
We don't even do any other genres. Wouldn't happen, but I reckon we do some cyberpunk-esque stuff.
That's too
Your
horny.
Blade Runners. Some Billy Idol stuff. Maybe he's in something crazy.
Maybe we could review every single Billy Idol music video and put it into one podcast.
Wow. Do you want to do that?
No.
Do you want to do that after we do the sequel of this movie? Because we watched Coming to America today.
Yes.
From 1988.
Coming, T-O, America.
Coming, C-O, M-I-N-G.
Yep.
And next week, we're going to watch Coming to America.
Imagine if it just cut off there. next week, we're going to watch Coming. So, I'm going to give you a little bit of a synopsis for Coming to America that we watched today.
I forgot about that.
That came out in 1988.
Smack me in the face, why don't you, with a little synopsis.
The time of the Jerry Curl.
Yes.
There were lots of Jerry Curls in this movie.
So glow.
I know this is quite a large synopsis. Okay. Prince Akeem, played by Eddie Murphy, is the prince of a wealthy African country and wants for nothing except a wife who will love him in spite of his title. To escape an arranged marriage, Akeem flees to America accompanied by his persnickety sidekick, Semi, Arsenio Hall, to find his queen. Disguised as a foreign student working in fast food, he romances Lisa, Shari Headley, but struggles to, with revealing his true identity.
He struggles with it because
and James L. Jones is in it.
Yeah,
bloody Darth
Vader. Where did you get that from?
I don't know.
That was very long.
That was really wordy, wasn't it?
Why you should? You know what you should do? And I've said this before on the podcast.
Oh no, you should get it reeled in here.
You should get it off Letterboxd.
I should. I actually should. You know what? I think I'm going to take your word for it because the stuff that comes off that app is class.
Yeah, I was
90% of the time.
This is the one off Letterboxd. You ready for this?
Okay, here we go. There's a double synopsy here.
Prince Akeem, heir to the throne of Zamunda, leaves the tropical paradise kingdom in search for his queen. What better place than Queens, New York, to find his bride? Joined by his servant Sammy, Akeem attempts to blend in as an ordinary American and begin his search for love.
So there's so much more adventure and suspense there. You want to know what's happening in the movie.
They even have like a mad slug line. Read that top line. It's all in caps.
Where? Oh, the four funniest men in America are Eddie Murphy. No, true.
Oh, see?
That's
every
great.
Letterboxd like movie on Letterboxd, they have like a little tagline for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really cool.
Well, speaking of that, maybe we should just jump straight into Eddie Murphy's amazing character acting in this movie.
I'm going to speak from far away because I'm going to put the aircon on. Go, hit me with your first point.
All right, you're going to have to put it on quiet mode because it's bloody on the second hard fan setting.
I'm putting it on quiet mode.
All right, here we go. Here comes quiet mode.
Well, you start with the points, I'll do it.
All right. Well, Eddie Murphy, he's the man. I gotta wait for you to sit back down.
I'm coming back now.
I need your full attention, boy.
Could you hear me in the mic?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I'm back.
The barbershop scene.
Oh,
man.
Yes.
Oh, my
scenes.
God.
Scenes.
Yeah, scenes.
Mm.
I mean, we had Arsenio Hall
Hall and Eddie Murphy.
You know, he was playing the little Jewish man with the moustache there, which is so funny. And
yeah, that was brilliant prosthetics. Yeah.
Hey, also, his accent as well was fantastic.
Mm.
Really, really well done. But also the other barbershop guy with the golden tooth that is just absolutely awesome.
Oh, so
good. Their banter was so, like, off the cuff.
Yeah,
realistic. It felt really realistic.
Yeah, which is not true because it wouldn't be realistic, would it? Because there's two Eddie Murphy characters.
Yeah, but that's how the editing worked there, Ben.
Yeah, no, but I'm not... No. Listen here.
All right, I'm bloody listening.
No, I mean, like, it wasn't done in the same room.
No, yeah, it's different.
Eddie Murphy had to play two
shots.
Characters.
Yeah, thanks for that.
No.
Yeah.
Like, he was the Jew, and he was the barber.
Yes, we know that.
Well, I'm just making sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you might be like, wait a minute, really? That's incredible.
Eddie Murphy split himself in two?
No, he didn't split himself in two.
No, I'm trying to be funny.
He didn't split himself in two.
I'm being silly, you donk.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to split himself in two. No, but they didn't do it all at the same time.
I know that.
Did I put on quiet mode?
No, that's
that's loud mode.
You put it on the hardest setting. Oh, fuck. All right, come on, change it again.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to watch you do it.
It's on quiet mode.
Now it's on quiet mode. I don't think you pressed it hard enough. You bastard. Watch you go.
Cut this.
All right. Jesus fucking Christ. You just can't get your air right, can't
you? Might need to do a bit of sneaky editing there.
Mate, I am king of the edits.
I pressed quiet mode. It was on quiet. It just wasn't doing it.
Sure.
You know how you have
That's
to
what
aim...
they all say.
No, you don't have to aim the controller to the... So, listeners, we've got like a Panasonic air conditioning unit.
It's okay.
And you have to aim it specifically at the unit to make it work. You can't aim it any other direction. So I didn't aim it. And that's why it wasn't on quiet mode. It was on full fan speed.
I'm sure the listeners love that.
It was incredible how we played many different characters.
It really was.
Yeah.
And also, we can't forget his most iconic part of the movie that our family constantly quote all the time is the sexual chocolate guy.
Yes,
the lead singer of the band at the Black Awareness meeting.
Yes, yeah. Which I was a little underwhelmed with.
You don't remember it how we used to?
I just remember it with a lot more energy. I thought he was like sexual chocolate.
Yeah,
but he was kind of like, "Here's my band, Sexual Chocolate," and I was like, "Oh, have we played this up too much?
We might have played it up a little bit."
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. It lived better in my memory than in real life, but that's okay.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Well, that wasn't terrible. It didn't ruin it. I'm still going to say sexual chocolate.
Yeah. I love
sexual
chocolate.
I'm going to say it as the memory still.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, I swear he had more pizzazz when he said that sexual chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, what a great band name as well, Sexual Chocolate. It's just fantastic.
Oh, so good.
So good. Just the whole introduction of every single character too just felt like it flowed really well in this movie. You know, you had like the plot line of him trying to find his bride and stuff like that. And that's just done in a way that's just, I don't know. It's just, it felt really good the way that they did it.
Yeah.
You know, specifically going through the meetings and then, you know, he was learning about... You know, well, the real America, basically, you know, in the cities and all that sort of stuff.
It didn't feel too rushed.
No,
which
it
I
didn't.
Enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it to be like, oh, he's in America, 2 seconds of being an idiot, and now he knows everything.
But it didn't feel too long either. That could have also come into play with the whole introductory stuff when he was, like, over in his home country. That could have been too long if they waited there a little bit more.
Yeah, I feel like it was only 15, 20 minutes that they spent there and then zoiked him into America. It was a good time.
They got that royal penis clean and then they just whacked him over to the US.
Before we get into royal penises,
yeah,
I just want to go back to the barbershop.
Please.
What I was trying to say was
they
couldn't improvise, because you said it felt very improvised, but they couldn't improvise.
Felt natural. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that is improvised, isn't it?
Yeah. Man, that was just incredible. That was great. They're the best, man.
Such great flow.
I love those barbers.
Yeah.
All of them.
Would you let them cut your hair?
No.
No.
Not at all.
The dude was like, oh, what kind of chemical? Oh, wait. Hang on a second. When he was cutting his hair, too, that was Eddie Murphy cutting Eddie Murphy's hair.
Yeah.
How did they do that?
But you couldn't see Eddie Murphy, could you?
Oh, no, you could. You could. He was touching his head. He's like, what kind of chemicals are you putting in that hair? He's like, oh, just, you know, juices.
Fruits and berries and stuff.
Fruits and berries and juices. And he's like, oh, man.
CGI.
CGI, yeah.
It was all CGI, man.
From the 80s. Looked that good.
I don't know what it was.
Camera trickery.
They definitely used a body double when they were doing like their bow staff training, like right at the start.
That was so good.
Akeem and Sammy. God.
But it was almost, it was really good because it was comical how obvious it was as well.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of
and he
course
was doing like the back hand springs down the hall. It just comes out.
Gets his stick whacked. And those massive flips.
Flips like about 7 times. That was, oh, yeah, just everything. All that sort of like physical comedy in this movie as well is really well done.
That's my pickup line, actually.
Yeah?
I go to the pubs and the clubs and I say, hey, babes, watch this. And I do like 8 handsprings back. But I use my stunt double. Eddie Murphy's stunt double comes in. They go,
you
wait.
Say, close your eyes for 2 seconds and then you stunt. And you go, okay, open. And then you just hide behind a table.
Yeah, but I get Eddie Murphy's stunt double from Coming to America.
Yeah, because so I'm sure you look exactly like Eddie Murphy's stunt double.
Yeah, I do. Except he's a bit older now, so he can only like half bend over. So he's just kind of doing sausage rolls across the dance floor. Yeah, that's real.
Damn, that's inspiring.
Thank you very much. The physical comedy was great.
Like Mick Dowell when he fell down the stairs when he was going to see the door.
That seemed real.
Oh, that was...
that seemed so real to me. The first time he slammed the door is the best. Oh, do you think it's going to be all James Earl Jones and like the whole royal group of them?
Just fucking Daryl.
Daryl.
with his jerry curl mullet.
Soul glow. Slams the door.
Dude, oh my God. It's that hairstyle, man. It's... left behind so much grease.
Would you rock it?
Totally. I reckon you should rock the jerry curls.
Yeah?
Yeah, you get a little bit of soul glow on you.
What do you reckon's in soul glow?
I don't know, but it's definitely not good for you in the long run. That's all I'll say.
Probably just like rubbing just lard through their hair.
Well, the guy who plays Daryl now is bald, so I'm
sure. Is he really?
I'm sure he didn't have a very good effect on his hair.
Bro should have joined the no poo movement. Not what you think. There's like a full no poo, no shampoo movement.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant like people abstaining from shitting and they just implode internally.
Yeah, probably in America.
Coming to America. What can you say?
Just cork it up. Wait 70 years. And then boom.
Just cork it up.
That would be the best shit of your life.
You know what? A random thought, not even relating to that scene, just
I'm
came
here
to
for
me.
It. I'll catch it up.
Yeah.
I'll gobble it all up.
You know the big boy who was like, who sang the wedding song and he sung his lungs out?
My favourite character.
Your favourite character. You don't even know his name.
No, I do. It's Oha.
Oha?
Oha.
When Oha drove Akeem to the station to chase after Lisa in that last sort of desperate, but baby, I love you, marry me. Sort of thing.
In the subway.
And Oha's just standing there in the snow in the middle of the road. Akeem didn't go back. Akeem was on the train somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
He just left the poor dude in the fucking middle of the road.
You reckon he just would have been standing there?
Yeah,
all
until
night?
He got the call like 5 hours later and he was just standing in the snow in the middle of the night. Like, oh, well. Bro, poor Oha. He deserved better. He deserved a bride.
Nothing's better in this movie than him walking up straight-faced in the wedding and then busting out
just his most soulful
best song.
And then just like going back straight-faced afterwards.
I swear there was a lyric in that song where he said, and don't worry, she doesn't have infections or something like that. She's safe. She has no AIDS or gonorrhea.
Oh, fuck me.
No, that was just... That
no,
was
that's
a lyric.
So... That's funny as... Of course I put it in. And it's very timely too because, you know, obviously 88, that's pretty prime for the crisis that was happening at the moment, the AIDS crisis then, you know.
Block your ears.
Yep.
AIDS. That's the year.
Yeah.
Cut that.
Wow, that's...
Cut that. Don't. Don't worry 88. About it. Leave it in.
88. Two fat ladies, so, as they say.
Don't you mean AIDS?
Oh, man. Oh. Oh, no.
Wait, what year did this movie come out in? It came in 1988.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyways... Imagine having James Earl Jones
I couldn't.
As your dad, Darth Vader and Mufasa.
Mm.
But he wasn't Mufasa yet.
No, he wasn't.
Obviously, because that's going to come in like another couple of years going
I'm sorry, I feel like I've ruined the mood here, haven't I, with my AIDS.
No, joke. You're fine, fine.
There's something that you had a glint in your eye for the first 15 or whatever minutes of this podcast.
Yeah? Is that glint gone?
Yeah, it's just grey. You've just gone pale.
No. I feel sick.
Yeah,
you've,
I don't blame you.
You've brought the plague upon me.
I have an idea.
What is it?
Let's bring it back.
How? How are you going to bring this back?
Royal quotes.
Oh, please. I do have two.
You got some epic quotes?
I have two.
Do you want me to hit you with one first?
I would like it.
When they're in the taxi, when they first get off into America, the taxi driver calls him a dumb fuck. And then he goes, what is dumb fuck?
That was good. Or what about when he's like, freeze you disease, rhinoceros pizzle. When he like smacks Samuel Jackson on the floor. That was when
Sammy smacks Sammy.
No, when Akeem, played by Eddie Murphy, smacks Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, I think we get it.
Played by Samuel Jackson on the floor when he was robbing McDowell's.
Yeah, that was a great quote. Yeah. The royal penis is clean, sir.
Oh, classic. You know, I say that every time I get out of the shower.
Yeah, you do.
I totally do.
I just don't know who's scrubbing it.
Yep. It's just me. Just pretending someone else is scrubbing it.
That makes a lot more sense.
It does. I'm mad.
Yep, that is true.
I'm mental. Put a sock in it. Joffy, the boy is in love.
That was good. That was good. I liked the mum. She was pretty chill.
And she had the hots for McDowell. You know, that little side look that they gave each
other?
At the end of the wedding.
At the start.
At the start, you know, McDowell's coming to the wedding. He's like, hey, baby.
That was, do you reckon in the next movie they're going to have a little thing?
Who knows? They could.
I hope not. That'd be weird.
I don't know. I reckon bring it on.
You're in for it.
Yep.
I mean, we know that James Earl Jones is just like having sex with these bathers.
Yeah, he's not very loyal.
No.
He's not very loyal. And it was an arranged marriage too, so who knows if she actually loves him. That was the thing. Like, you know, she kind of had a lot of empathy for her son because she was like, man, you know, I didn't get to choose.
Yeah, because she said at first I felt nauseous, but then afterwards I started loving him.
Oh, remember James Earl Jones is like, yeah, there's like a fine line between nausea and love or something.
Yeah.
She just looks at him like, what the fuck? Are you serious?
Like, don't worry, I slept with my bathers this morning.
Yeah, I'm okay. Dude always had a smile on his face. No old guy like that should be that happy unless...
Who wouldn't be happy in that situation?
No, what I'm saying is, like, no old guy at that age should be that happy, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
in general. Dude's way too happy.
Yeah. He's getting too much. He's getting too much stuff.
Too much poontang.
Yeah, too much poo wiping. Would you have someone wipe your ass for
Absolutely you? Not. That is a violation of my sacred space.
21 years of life.
And never wiped your ass. How would you know how to wipe your ass if you've never wiped your ass?
Drew, how did he go
in America?
Like,
I know it's a simple activity, but You know, if you're having everything done for you, you're basically like a fucking Prince Charles. Well, King Charles now, aren't you?
There's an art to it, though.
Yeah.
I like to stand and squat, and I get it clean every time.
You get it.
Straight out.
Yep.
No pooing about. You? I don't know what you do, but you spend like
7 hours. I have more abstract techniques, thank you very much, but they are classified.
Yeah, I'm sure. You spend too long in there.
Yeah, that's true.
The last quote, oh, hippopotamus shit. That was great. That was in the bow stuff.
That was good. That was good. Man, just the start as well when they were walking through the garden and they just had like a zebra running across or like their pet elephants running across. It's like, hey, how you going, mate?
I thought that was
going
to be a third thing. I was waiting for like a lion or a tiger.
Well, we did say the lion skin at the end.
Oh, yeah. What is this, velvet?
Or something like that. What is this, velvet? That was pretty good, actually.
That was all right, mate. Oh. I can't believe the prosthetics of just Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it's incredible.
The only spot you could notice it was the ears, a little bit.
You could see a bit of crinkle, could you? I thought, like, just under his eyes, I could kind of see it. Usually because, you know, that's the part where, you know, you got to be most careful.
Yeah.
Don't want to get any rubber in your eyes.
But even his hands. I don't know if you looked at his hands, but they were veiny old white hands as well.
Well, he didn't move his hands very much. They were always like, he was always like pointing upwards and his hand was stiff sort of thing. So I think that would probably be like a mold or something. It might have even been fake hands, you know?
Or someone's behind him doing
hands. Oh, yeah, someone's got their hands in the jacket. Moving for him or something exactly. Like that. What did you think about the moral of the story? I thought it was nice and wholesome.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Yeah. I thought this had a good story.
You know, it's about Akeem's search for genuine love, and there was so much like emphasis on the material world and all these other characters all focusing on the material things or the non-lasting things. And in the end, it was like love came through as the strongest thing.
Yeah.
It overcame everything. It overcame the money, overcame the sex. Well, the meaningless sex, not the passionate love.
Overcame the penis watching. Yes. Washing, not watching.
It overcame McDowell's burgers.
It overcame getting your ass wiped by a humble servant.
And that's what it came through in the end. It was a very wholesome moral, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. I also find, I guess when you look back to some movies that Eddie Murphy's done, like, you know, Beverly Hills Cop and that.
Yeah.
They're a bit cringy at points. It's a bit
It's that campy. 80s sort of camp, yeah.
This totally. Is not that at all, I would say.
No, it's done in a way that feels like really creative.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it buys into any other sort of trend. It really feels like its own movie. Although it is shockingly 80s at points, but it plays on that.
Yeah.
In a way that it's aware.
Sometimes some movies I watch now, and you hear me, oh, this bloody young chap.
This young guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
You watch some movies from like that time of comedy, and it's feels very dated, where it's hard to get on board with some of the scenes.
Some of them. Yeah, I agree.
Not this movie, though.
But and the same goes for serious movies of the same era.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. It feels very dated, and it's like, oh, man, yeah.
Yes, and that went for a lot of things in that time period as well. Like, even, like, obviously music, you can tell if a song is straight from the 80s.
It's
washed over with reverb and all sorts of like jangly guitars and things, which is great, but it's a time stamp, isn't it?
Like, I'm definitely more of a 70s man myself.
You are a 70s man.
When it comes to movies.
The 70s was a pretty, especially the early 70s. That was,
yeah, exactly right.
Good God damn it.
And the problem that a lot of 80s movies can fall into, I believe, is that they can feel a bit too cheesy and campy.
Yes, but this movie does stand the test of time for sure. Like, yeah. It is very rewatchable.
Because I've heard a lot of people say, like, a big focus in the 80s was to make everything family friendly.
Yeah.
Because in the 70s, they had all these really gritty, crazy,
edgy sort of stuff.
Yeah. And they're like, we need to start attracting more people into the cinemas. We can't do it.
That's where the blockbusters came from. It started in the 80s. Yeah. And that's where cinema took a downfall.
Mm.
It was its first major downfall, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in the 90s, late 90s, that's when creatives sort of came through again. And there's, you know, there's been good movies through every single era as well. You know, not to
no doubt
shoot down the 80s completely, but for sure, that was the main goal of a lot of studios, was to get the people in.
Yeah, so I just felt that this was not dated.
It had a nice balance between the blockbuster and the originality and
good
kind of cheekiness.
Yeah, cheekiness. This wasn't edgy, it was nice and cheeky.
Yeah, exactly. And even in just like Akeem's character as well, like just such an innocent, you know, sort of happy guy, like that. It was very different to like the action badass stars coming through at the time. It's like, you know, it's Eddie Murphy, but playing this innocent guy, like that's so different to who he usually is. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he always, I'm pretty sure it's the first movie he ever played multiple characters as well.
Yeah, right.
And then that became his trademark and then didn't go too well after that.
Yeah, true. I mean, you see a lot of that in his like actual stand-up comedy as well. If you go back and watch it, he always does the voices of people that he knows or in situations.
Yeah, yeah.
It was his moment to actually express it properly.
I think it was Delirious we watched.
Yeah.
That one time.
Great special.
That was good, yeah.
Oh, man. If you haven't seen that and listened to that, please do.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, fantastic.
Who is your favourite character?
Favourite character.
Character that Eddie Murphy and...
Or Arsenio Hall plays?
Yeah, Arsenio Hall plays.
Oh, well, it's obviously got to be, like, the chaplain guy.
Yeah, the priest. Yeah.
Praise the Lord!
The reverend or whatever he was. He is so good.
Oh, he's so good.
First, I was like, wait, that's not Eddie Murphy.
No.
I was like, obviously not.
Yeah, yeah.
His characters were the best, Arsenio Hall's, I believe.
Yeah. He had a bit of a shoot up in fame after this too, because his like late night show came out after this, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, early 90s, I think. Late 80s, early 90s. I think it came out the next year, 89.
Oh, right.
Which is kind of interesting. But yeah, his characters were just class.
Yeah. Dude. What was the chick in the bar that he plays?
Yeah.
That just came out. The first time you watched this movie.
I'm going to tear you apart. And your friend.
He spits out the drink.
We had to watch that scene back twice.
Yeah. That comes out of nowhere. I think the first time you watch this movie, that's just the most prized scene.
Though. Yeah.
There's so many bits in this. This is such a quotable movie. There's movies that you just...
Do you think... We haven't seen the second one yet. Do you think the second one is going to live up to this at all? I know this is a good movie, but do you think the next one will be good? I haven't heard many people talk about the second one.
I haven't heard much. I don't know where you can go from here. What do you think?
Story's capped. It's like a perfect ending with the marriage. It's like you've seen the cycle.
He's evolved as a character. He's come full circle where he's realized, I don't want to be forced into marriage and I want to just sort of make my own decisions a bit more.
Yep.
Then he's found his love.
And then he went through the hardship of being rejected.
Yeah.
He's never been rejected before in his life. He's always had everything delivered to him on a silver platter.
Yeah. And he dealt with that quite well, considering 21 years...
of just being pampered.
Mm.
Mature. Akeem, hats off to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Well done.
Incredible. I don't know where it's going to go from here. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously, I would say, is the correct word.
Mm.
Where can we watch the second one? I don't even think it's on Netflix, isn't
it? Amazon, that's all right. Amazon. We'll sort it out.
But
I don't know, because I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Make them go back to America? What's the point?
Maybe we'll figure out how McDowell made that burger phone.
The burger phone was good. That was a good burger phone.
That was great. Oh my God, I need that. I need that, yeah. Honestly.
But who are you going to call? You have no friends.
Oh, I'll call you.
I'm not your friend.
Oh, I'll call you every time I want to watch a movie for the podcast.
Yeah, because I don't talk to you until we do the podcast.
Yeah.
That's why we have all these sick chats.
You could do a cheap burger phone and you just get like an old Nokia and you stuff it inside a Big Mac. And you just open up, it's all greasy.
Nah, that was more of a quarter pounder, I reckon.
Yeah, more of a quarter. But quarter pounders these days are tiny, my dude.
Mm, true. That is true, my dude.
That is true, my dude.
They're also washing that lettuce in the sink. So they'd wash the lettuce and then they put it back in the sink. I don't know if you remember that bit.
Oh.
You remember that?
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
Chubby
yeah.
dude, what was his name?
Old mate who got
his back slapped and dropped the milkshake when he got introduced.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was pretty funny.
He's like, yo, 2 years and you'll be a manager like me.
That's where the big bucks start coming in.
And he wasn't even a manager.
Oh, he's washing lettuce. Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Not there. That's for losers.
Nah.
Like
lettuce washers.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't do that.
I love washing lettuce.
Any more points you got for me?
Mate.
You'll point it out?
I think that I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to know what McDowell had on that little plate of his, those little nibblies.
Pigs in a blanket, he said it.
Well, it was like pigs in a blanket.
Yeah, but they were frozen. No, the frozen kind.
Ah.
So he didn't make them himself. Still kind of wanted to eat it. They look good.
They did look good.
They weren't frozen in real life.
Yeah.
They were definitely made by the catering company.
All right. What was one point in the movie where you felt an emotional connection? Like, you know, not for laughs, but for like you're like, yeah, man, I feel ya.
Every time they gave away their money or got robbed. So I was like, damn.
You're like, bro. I mean, they didn't work for that money, so they basically have it growing off trees.
I know, but he just... Like, even when he gave it to the homeless people, I know it's really nice. I was like, bro.
You horrible person.
You could invest that. What are you doing?
Yeah. Put it in the stock market.
Yeah,
mate.
Exactly. And then you could buy all of, I don't know, Tesco.
Or Tesla.
Well, Tesla.
Buy it off Mr. Musk. Although, obviously, he didn't own it at that point.
Their stock's dropping.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He could have bought it as it was dropping.
Ever since he smoked that joint on Joe Rogan.
That's it.
That's it. That's the lesson learned.
Yeah, because we're anti-drug. Right.
Right.
What was an emotional moment for you?
Oh, man. When Isaac Foley was sitting on the swing with Lisa...
Isaac Foley.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of fucking, what's his name? Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, right.
Yeah. When Akeem was sitting on the swing with Lisa.
You dumb piece of shit.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, when they were sitting on the swing, that was very nice.
That was beautiful.
Oh, actually, no. The best emotional moment was when Daryl proposed to Lisa without telling her that she was getting married.
I think the best emotional moment was when Daryl got with his sister.
Sorry?
I said when Daryl got with his sister.
Yeah, yeah, true.
She was beautiful.
Yeah.
What? I can say
you can
that.
Say it. You can say it.
Don't give me that Grey Goose look. That little Sly Cooper of you.
My little French Grey Goose.
All right.
Oh, I think it's time for a little bit of trivs.
All right. Here we go. Count me down.
Five. Four, three.
After the makeup and clothing was applied for the Jewish character, Saul, Eddie Murphy, wanted to test the makeup and costume out. That's when he's the Jewish guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He got a golf cart and drove from one studio department to another in Paramount Studios. He would go up to the people and say, "Hi, I'm Eddie Murphy," and no one believed him. So it was that good, the makeup.
That's fantastic.
And he did it in his normal voice as well, in his Eddie Murphy voice.
Really?
Yeah.
And people still didn't recognize him.
No, they thought he was lying.
Oh my God.
I was like, what is this weird old man doing? Go away from me.
Yeah.
Get back in your office. But no, it was Eddie Murphy, you fools.
You silly duffers.
Most of the dance performed by the Royal Dancers, also top 10 dance sequence of all time.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
Before presenting Prince Akeem's Queen, was the rendition of the dance from Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Really?
Yeah. Fun fact as well, the director who directed this, John Landis, also directed the Thriller music
video. Wow.
5 years later, he brought the dance back. So there's a bit of like Thriller-esque dance
moves right there. I guess if we were dancing dissectors, we could dissect this.
Yeah.
A little bit more. Very interesting trivia there, Mr. Ben.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're bloody welcome.
Maybe I'll just skip the last one, just because who cares?
Okay.
Nah, the reason
why
did,
is it bad?
Nah, not really. It's I wanted to end on a high. That was a pretty good one. But this one's pretty good as well, actually.
Oh, is it not as high?
It's pretty high.
Oh, okay.
The reason...
You're upping it now. If it's not, you're in trouble.
What are you going to do?
I'm not going to be happy.
You're never going to do a podcast again.
Let me tell you.
Eddie Murphy wore the Jewish makeup as a fuck you to old Jewish comedians who used to do blackface.
Really?
That's what they say. Oh, no, the writer made Eddie Murphy wear.
You know Reverse Card?
Yeah. The writer, Barry W. Blaustein.
Yeah, yeah.
Blaustein. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, it was more...
Oh, no, it was John, the director's idea.
So it was socially motivated, or politically motivated as well, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, wow. Bit of mirth.
Isn't it funny that whenever we do comedy movies, we always go the most serious?
We do. Very introspective.
Oh, no. Look at us go. Letterboxd time?
Yeah.
Count me in.
Six.
The Real House says, "Freeze, you diseased rhinoceros pizzle," is still the best line in cinematic history.
So good.
4.5 stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Top big score there.
That is a good score.
Jeno says, "I've come to the conclusion that Samuel L. Jackson appears in every movie ever. 3.5 stars.
And this was a very early role for him too.
Yeah.
Was Pulp Fiction his breakthrough?
You tell me.
I think it was. I think it might have been.
God, his ass whooped in this.
He did. And that's not very Samuel Jackson of him, isn't it?
No.
No.
Probably not.
Usually he whoops
the ass, doesn't get his ass whooped.
Usually he gives
a good whooping.
A whooping.
Yeah, a good whooping.
To people's asses.
Heavy-handed as well.
Oh, the hands are heavy.
He just yells and says, "You want my snake in your plane?" And then just whoops their ass.
Nah, that's the best thing you've ever said. I don't think you can top it.
And I won't.
Wow.
I think we move to scores now.
Yeah.
You can't top that.
Please.
And not a high. Just like DJ Snake. All right. You are my high. Get with it.
Thanks.
You idiot.
Oh.
I'm going to give us...
Oh. Whoa. I'm going
first.
We've
never done that before. Holy shit.
This is like...
I need someone to wipe my ass after that.
I can see a bit of shit running down your leg.
It's pouring, man. It's like river mud.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
It's like that chocolate fudge. Oh, that chocolate that you get from, like, Max Brenner in the cup.
Or that stuff, what's it, ice magic, where you put it on the ice cream and it freezes immediately.
Oh, my God.
It's so cool in here. Oh. So it's just all ice magic down my leg.
You're just a cool guy.
Thank you.
Shit freezes on your leg.
I'm ice cold.
And this might surprise you, this score.
That's a bit surprising for me, yeah. Wow.
It is a great movie.
Holy hell, you're giving it that?
Nah, hang on. Hold your horses. But I think for me, this movie sits very nicely at 7 out of 10 nugs.
You know, this year has been very interesting.
Has it?
And I think everyone's going to think this is all set up. But I also give it a 7 out of 10.
Oh my God. That's back-to-back weeks of the same
that's
score.
That's 3, isn't it?
3?
I'm pretty sure serious? Banshees, we both gave it a 9 as well. Spoiler alert.
Are you serious?
I think so.
Wow.
Have you been keeping check? Who knows? All right, that's it. Done.
Yep.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these 3 things.
Number 1. Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast. Number 2.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number 3. Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. All with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.